Avoisai, it's been a very difficult week. There's just no let up. It really is no let up. It's not so simple. We've going into another Shabbos where all of the Batei Kinesios, the Batei Midrashos are shut down. Some shuls, it's been 5 weeks, some it's been six, some it's been seven. And who knows? No one really knows. There's clarity when things are going to resolve. But there's definitely been talk this week, much, much more than the past 6 weeks, of the end game. Cannot deny the fact that there's been a lot of talk of opening up, of how to open up, when to open up. Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, they've lifted many restrictions. It's very, very different there, it appears. Different states in this country have loosened up the restrictions, and even in New York, on one hand it's stricter. They have more of a feel of how to go forward. Everyone has to wear a mask. Everyone has to do this, do that. But yet at the same time, they're definitely looking towards the end. And hafoichba dekulaba. When you listen to the news the whole day, and you hear the media talk about returning in a limited way to society, coming back and rebooting the economy, rebooting our lives, and you read the first psukim of the parasha, it's biting. You have to be blind, literally blind, not to acknowledge Chazal's message to us, hafoichba, hafoichba, dekulaba. Study the Parashas HaShavua. In the Parashas HaShavua is hidden a message, a timely message for Klal Yisrael. We learn over here, and let me just be makdim. Don't get me wrong. No one knows. No one can possibly fathom why this happened. It is, in my little teeny mind, it is beyond belief. It is beyond chutzpah for anyone to possibly think they know why this happened. I'm not going there. And as a disclaimer to anything I say, no way am I going there. Can anyone, chas v'shalom, say why this happened? It's not for us to understand. Nothing doing. But yet, we have an obligation to take note of what happened and to strengthen ourselves and do things that we're anyway supposed to be doing correctly. And when we listen the entire week to the media talk about rebooting the economy, coming back to society, which for us means coming back to shul, resuming a religious life as we have been accustomed to all of our days, we come to these psukim in the parasha. Hashem speaks to Moshe. Acharei Moshe. You know, people died in this last couple of weeks? At least 1,000. I'm talking about, we know that in the country there are 60,000 people in this country alone who have died. But from Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, from those that we identify with more than anyone else, it's very, very likely 1,000 people. I mean, the numbers certainly are there. Acharei Mois. And here we're talking about re-emerging. Acharei Mois Shnei B'nei Aaron B'karvasam L'fnei Hashem V'yamusu V'yoymer Hashem El Moshe Daber El Aaron Achicha. Speak to your brother Aaron, the survivor. Moshe Rabbeinu made it very, very clear that he and his brother Aaron were survivors. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron, Parashat Shmini, Rashi quote tells the Chazal that Moshe said, Aaron, you know, I knew that in order for the Beis HaMikdash to be sanctified, it would happen through Misa Sadikim. I don't know what that means. I'm just reading the words of Rashi, and I'm not making any application, Chas V'Shalom, to anything that happened today. Chas V'Shalom. I'm just reading Rashi. And there, I knew it would happen But I thought it would be me and you. Who are there in this world greater than me and you? Putting aside all humility, Moshe v'Aaron. But Aaron, have nechama, your children, they're even greater than us. Have comfort. But what does that mean for us? It means that Moshe was telling Aaron, you know, we're survivors. It should have been us. Why are we different? Hayisi Sovor, I thought it would have been us. We're survivors. And now the message is, Daber el Aaron achicha v'al yavoy v'chol eis el hakodesh. Don't walk into the Beis HaMikdash whenever you want. This is not a free-for-all. V'al yavoy v'chol eis el hakodesh. To enter into the Mokai mi Beis LaParoiches, to the Mokai of the Aaron HaKodesh, el pinei HaKapoires, Asher al Aaron v'lo yamus, ki ve'anon eirei al HaKapoires. And Rashi writes, Ma Talmud Loimar, what's this all about? Hoya Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Moshloi Moshel. I'm just reading Rashi, Chumash Rashi. L'choyle shenichnas eitzel roife, a choyle. He goes to a doctor. Or maloi. The doctor says to him, Al toichal tsoinein v'al tishkav be tachav. Don't do certain things. Don't eat certain types of food. Don't lie down in locations that are cold and moist. Tachav is a very unique word. In the Siv Secham, it says, L'shon kar v'lach. And don't take care of your health. Bo acher v'amaloi. He goes to another doctor. And the other doctor says to him, V'amaloi al toichal tsoinein v'al tishkav v'tavach. Shaloi tomus kederach shemeis ploini. The second doctor says, hey, you want to see what happens? If you do this, you die. Ze zarza yoyse min harishon. The second doctor is much, much more effective than the first doctor. When something is theoretical, it means nothing. Before Purim, I was a non-believer. I honestly did not believe for a second this was going to happen. I cannot believe what happened. And then when you see, you start to know people who die, friends, chaverim, parents of your chaverim, my chaverim, and people in shul, one story after another, I have to tell you, wow, it's a different world. It's a different world. I mean, these words of Rashi are so painful, are so real. The difference between people that are playing games, you know, that are not protecting themselves, are not conducting themselves in a responsible way, versus the people who are sheltered in place and following all the rules, the difference between them is very, so you don't need a doctor, you don't need a government. If it's personal, then you know firsthand what it means. If it's personal, if it affects you, you know exactly what it means. So these words, unfortunately, we know exactly what this means. I think all of us, the vast majority of us, to a certain degree, were in disbelief that something like this could possibly happen. And when they started telling us all of these rules and all of these things, like, come on, I think you're going to a little bit of an extreme. And now we realize we should have been even more machmir. Had we been more machmir, maybe it wouldn't have been as bad. Rachmana Litzlan. That's one lesson. But the other lesson is, we have not been in the Beis HaKnesses for 7 weeks. 6, 7, 8 weeks. And this week we're talking about re-emerging. We're talking about the end game, when it will be. But one thing Moshe says to Aaron, when you do come back, don't come back into the Beis HaKnesses the same way you came into the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMikdash originally. In the aftermath of Acharei Moy Shenei B'nei Aharon B'karvasam Lifnei Hashem V'yamusu. Remember, when you come back home, the Al Yavoy V'chol Eis El HaKodesh. Don't come in whenever you want. Meaning, as Rashi and Chazal say, there's a code of conduct that has to be followed when you reemerge. Let not the lesson, the pain, the loss of so many good people go for nothing. When we do reemerge into society, when things open up slowly, as they are now in Eretz Yisrael and across the country, and Mirtz Hashem very soon here in New York, it's Acharei Moish Shnei B'nei Aaron. Don't forget that. Something horrific happened. And when you come back, the Al Yavoi V'chol Eis, it's not a Hefkerus. It has to be different. There has to be some appreciation, some acknowledgement that the Ribbono Shel Olam has spoken. What he said, I don't know. I don't know. I can give you two mashalim. Personally, Siyum HaShas, I can honestly tell you, I did not hear one word that was said in the entire program of the Siyum HaShas in MetLife. Why? I don't know why. I was distracted. It's a long story. I got the best possible seat. I bought a ticket. I had a great seat. I gave it, it's a long story. I got box seats, the best possible seats. Yet I didn't hear one word, because getting those seats was really a favor to someone else who needed someone to be with him. And that really basically prevented me from participating to be able to listen to the speeches. But yet when I came out of that event, I was a different person. It was just being there. It was just being there. The experience was wow. Later, I listened to the recording and I heard all the speeches. But B'Shas Maisa, I didn't hear one word. And I was so moved by the event. I went to a Levaya this week. I could honestly tell you, I didn't hear one word of the Hespedim. There were five magnificent Hespedim. I know they were magnificent because I listened to them yesterday. But B'Shas Maisa, you know something? I didn't hear one, not even one word. You know why? I was a technician. I had a job to do. I had a job to do as a technician. I had to work on the program. So I could, but you know something? Being there changed me. The Maimod changed me. Just because you don't know the message doesn't mean you're not affected by the maimud, by the event. No one today can dare say, at least in my little mind, can say why this happened. No one heard the speech. No one. No one knows why. Why did this happen? What do these people do? What did they do to deserve to die? What did they do? What did we do that we didn't, but that we survived? No one knows. No one heard the message. That's Golos. That's Hester Panim. But you know something? It doesn't matter. We were there. We were present. And we all know, sometimes you go to an event and you don't even hear one word. It doesn't matter. Being present affects you. You're a different person. We were present these 7 weeks. What was said? Nobody knows what was said, but we're all affected. And thus, the very least is, when we do return after this horrific event of Acharei Moish Shnei V'nei Aaron, it cannot be the same. The Al Yavoi V'chol Eis cannot be with light, a free spirit, lightheadedness. There has to be some seriousness, some appreciation, some value in the maimad. You know, like to me, though, I'll give you a foolish example. I'll give you a really, really foolish example. There's a whole movement. We see that you can get married in the backyard. Wow, look at that. You can get married in the backyard. Who needs to spend $100,000 when you can get married for $300? You know, to me, forget about that. You want to have a $100,000 wedding? I don't care. But why does everyone have to talk like there's no tomorrow by the chuppah? Go to a wedding. The weddings that I've gone to before this whole event. I mean, it's like a football game. You have a wedding. This is a very precious moment. It's like a life of hefker. Have your $1 million wedding. But at least when you go to the wedding, it should be a wedding. There should be some sense of appreciation of life, not just hefkeros. I don't know. Everyone, to each his own. Everyone takes it differently. But one thing we all have in common. When you hear them talk on the news, open this, open the park, open this business, that business. The Ali Avoy V'chol Eis Ala Kodesh. When it comes to the holy places, it's got to be different. There was a message, and it has to affect us one way or another. Along those lines, let me give you another similar example. Parshas Kedoshim. Look at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. The first psukim of Parshas Kedoshim is an oxymoron. The themes expressed there are contradictory. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimor. Daber, speak El Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael V'yamart Alehem Kedoshim Tihiyu Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Rashi says, what's this unique expression, Parshas Kedoshim, Daber El Kol Adas? Since when did Moshe Rabbeinu gather the entire assembly? Rashi says, Melamed Shenemra Parsha Zoy Behakel. Wow, look at that. Mamash Hafeich Behafeich Behdekulaba. Here we are. We're talking about when, how we're going to come back together against the backdrop of Parshas Kedoshim. This Parsha is unique. All of the other Parshas were said privately. You have a private appointment with Moshe Rabbeinu. You have Yechidus with the Rebbe. With Moshe Rabbeinu, he'll tell you what you need to know. But Parshas Kedoshim, Rashi says, being that all of the yisoidos of life are in this parsha, v'bnei sheroiv gufei Torah tuluyim bo. So Rashi says, this parsha is going to be daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Hakel, ganz klal Yisrael has to gather together in a confined area, violate every rule of social distancing. That's what this parsha says. Kol ka, this is not a violation of social distancing? Isn't that what it says over here? It's a good siman, it's a good sign, it's a good sign. Hashem is speaking to us. The day is going to come when you'll forget about this horror of social distancing. But yet, there's a very big problem here with this pasuk. Because what is the message? What is the message of Hashem when he says to Klal Yisrael, there is no such thing as social distancing. It is Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. You know what my message to you in this assembly is? Kedoshim to you. What does it mean to be a Kodosh? It means Perushim. Rashi says, Kedoshim, have a Perushim, min ho'arayos. Separation. Okay? In this context, he's discussing the principle of Arayos, gender separation. But the word Kodosh means to be apart, to be set aside. Okay, in the non-holy term, what is a Kodesh? A man that is designated to do an Avera. A Kedesha, a woman that's designated. The word Kodosh means to separate, to put aside. Do not mingle with the masses. Everything shall be set aside. This pasuk is an oxymoron. Here, from all of the psukim, which discuss the whole mitzvahs of the Torah, the principle of kedusha, which in essence means separation. Lock yourself up in a room in the basement. No one should see you. In a bunker deep, deep down in the belly of the earth. That's what Kedusha is. Pure separation. No one can go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not even the Kohen Gadol. Only once a year, and only in a special way, because the Kodesh HaKadoshim is Kadosh. It's Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's set aside. It's apart. So from all of the mitzvahs that are set aside, isn't it bizarre that it's specifically this where Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem says, it should be said in the presence of Gans Klal Yisrael, rubbing shoulder to shoulder, El Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Pilei Ploim. This is wondrous. The contradiction here is unbelievable. But Rabbi said that's exactly what the message is. It's exactly the intent of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is to appreciate, is Kedusha, being separate from one another, doesn't mean you have to be physically apart. And being separated, being physically apart from one another, doesn't mean that you're not assembled. If you're a Kodesh, if you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it doesn't mean that you're separated from the rest of Klal Yisrael. When the Kohen Gadol was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Mokom that no man can possibly go, it is the Mokom in this world that is the most apart, he brought in there with him the whole Klal Yisrael. Gans Klal Yisrael entered in with him. How could that be? Because Kedusha and physical separation are not contradictory. A person, we can all be physically together, but we can still have Kedusha. We can still have an appreciation of what it means to be unique. What it means to be unique in reference to as a nation to the Ribbono Shel Olam versus the Umos Olam. The privacy of each individual, just because we live in a fishbowl, doesn't mean that you need to know everyone's business, everyone's private lives. There's a respect to the sanctity of another person's privacy. Just because you're your next door neighbor, you know how many times the people, they live with other people and they don't, even husbands and wives, how many times do you hear stories of holy people and they're married for 60 years and the wife says, I'm married to him for 60 years, I never knew this. That's Kedusha. You can be in physical proximity for 60 years and yet there is sanctity, there is dignity, there is privacy, there is an understanding of the Kedushas HaAdam, which very often comes out in expression of privacy. That is the message of this pasuk. This is an amazing pasuk, and it's only because of what we're going through are we able to have an appreciation of this pasuk like none other. We know what it means to be private. We know what it means to be in isolation. We're living now in a time when everyone is locked up at home. Everyone is apart, is separate. Don't go near me. You're a danger. You walk in the street, people look at you. Don't get close to me. You're a threat. I get that sense. I walk in the street, people, they look at me like, I'll tell you something humorous. I'm afraid of dogs. What can I tell you? I never got along well with dogs. So when I walk in the streets and I see a big dog coming down the block, I try, you know, to cross the street far away so I shouldn't insult the owner, because they get very insulted if you go and you move aside, it doesn't bite, this, that. So I try like to be diplomatic and, you know, they shouldn't notice. Now when I walk down the street, the person who's walking the dog, they run away from me. Because they see me and they think I'm a threat. it's really very, very, very humorous. It's a very strange thing. Like I know in Chaim Berlin, they have security. So who's paying for the security? The government, I'm sure, is paying for this. They have guards. They have very sophisticated security. So what was the purpose of the security? Well, 7 weeks ago, the security was to keep the goyim out of the building. Only ones who can come into the building are from people, shomer Torah mitzvahs. Only they can come into the building. Now the guards are there to make sure that the from people don't come into the building. No one should use the shul, the yeshiva, as a hangout. The shiva is locked. Anyway, there are guards. The government didn't stop paying the guards just because of Corona. The guards are there. But what do the guards do now? The guards are there to make sure that no from person comes into the building. It's hilarious. It's sad. It's a bitter gelechta. But this pasuk here is an amazing pasuk. It's an oxymoron. And it's because we're going through this crisis, we gain a very deep appreciation of this pasuk. Kidoshim to you. Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Hashem is telling us the time will come when there will no longer be social distancing. Parsha zo nemra behakel. Rub shoulder to shoulder. Don't worry about germs. Don't worry about all this stuff. But even when you come back together, even when you return and you are in a state of hakel, don't forget. Don't forget the experience of isolation. Don't forget the experience of quarantine. Don't forget the experience of hisboididus. Don't forget, what is hisboididus? What is this experience really in essence? It's a moment of kedusha. When you're all alone with yourself, your family, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're forced to confront yourself. You're forced to ask questions. What's life all about? What am I doing here? What does davening really mean to me? Do I really care about davening? I've been a phony my whole life. If I can't bring myself to daven with kavana, to read the words, when I'm all alone, so what was I doing when I was in shul? It's because I'm afraid of the Joneses and the Cones. I don't want them to see that I want to make believe that I know how to daven. I'm really religious. And I'm really religious in shul, so how come I can't be so religious at home? It's a moment of introspection. It's been a tekufa. It's been a moment of kedusha. And Hashem in this week's parasha is telling Klal Yisrael, it's coming to an end. We're getting closer. Not yet, we got a way to go, but it's getting there. There's already a lot of talk. How, when? The time is coming. It's going to be Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. But remember the Amarta Aleihem. Don't forget the experience. Kedoshim Tihiyu. When you come back together, bring with that the experience of Kedusha that you've had these last 7 weeks. Ki kodosh ani Hashem Elokecha. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about the synthesis of Achdus and Klal Yisrael together, intertwined, interlaced, synthesized with a degree of Kedusha. Let's discuss another idea. This week's parasha, it says, V'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha ani Hashem Elokecha. Is that what it says? It's like, V'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha ani Hashem. Pasuk includes, where is the pasuk exactly? If someone knows what the pasuk is, I lost the pasuk, I lost track. Yudches, chai. Loisikoim veloisitor es b'nei amecha. Ve'ohavta l'reyacha kamoicha ani Hashem. Let me use this. There are many pasukim. I would say the following idea. You can really, there are many pasukim in this week's parasha that you can connect this to. Let's talk a little halacha. I want to ask you a halachic question. If you live in a place where there is no Erev, let's say you live in such a society where there is no Erev, or if you don't use the Erev for whatever reason, Are you allowed on Shabbos to wear a mask? What is the halacha? Are you allowed to walk out into the street wearing a mask over your face and nose on the holy Shabbos? Those who are learning now Daf Yomi are learning all about the laws of Yitzah. Animals, even animals have a halacha of Yitzah. Even animals can carry in the streets. Whatever all that means. Okay, all the various laws. Are you allowed to wear a mask in the street on Shabbos? So you should know that two Shabbosos ago, it was very hard to get an answer to this question. Many Rabbonim did not want to paskin. It was really, really difficult. Try to shop around to get an answer to the question. And Rabbonim would say, I don't know the answer. Even seasoned Rabbonim who are not afraid to paskin nuclear war, they didn't want to paskin about a mask if you're allowed to wear it in this street on Shabbos. It wasn't so easy to find a pesach halacha. Already by this last Shabbos already was out in the street, mutter. Oh, there's a rav that says that it's mutter. Okay, samech on him, it's mutter. It's a done deal. There's nothing to discuss, it's mutter. Wait a minute. Let's discuss this. Let's talk about this. What are the issues? What are the halachic issues about wearing a mask? So before we discuss a mask, let's talk about wearing clothing. Why are you allowed to wear clothing on Shabbos? Caring! Wear a jacket? How can you wear a jacket? How can you wear a shirt? How can you wear undergarments? You're carrying in the street. How can you wear these things? So what is the answer? The answer is clothing is botel to your guf. It becomes part of your body. It's an extension of your body. It's a svara. It's not a pasuk. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you're allowed to wear clothing in the Rishus Harabim on Shabbos. It doesn't say anywhere. I challenge you to find me any biblical source that teaches you that you're allowed to wear clothing in the street on Shabbos. It's a svara. It's logical. It's part of your body. Now, let me ask you a question. Why is it so logical? Why is clothing part of your body? What function do clothing serve? Well, number one, it protects me. It protects me from getting ill, from the elements of it's cold, it's hot. It protects me from disease. It shields me from shame. It serves me well. Now let me ask you a question. What would happen if I have no shame? I'm not cold. Is a person allowed to walk in the street without any clothing? Well, you can say, well, it's offensive. Other people are not very happy at the obscene view of looking at a person not wearing clothing. So maybe you can say that clothing, you know, maybe is there an element of clothing relating to someone else? Let's say I don't need clothing. I'm not hot. I'm not cold. It's beautiful weather. I have no shame. No shame. Missing my marbles. Okay, you'll sell me butler, dieta, etzel, kol adam. But still, you know, someone else doesn't like it. They're very annoyed to see someone walk around in that state of undress. So clothing to a certain degree serves that function. All right, you know, you can be mefalpel the entire day. Now let me ask you, the first problem with a mask is, why are you wearing a mask? Explain to me. We have a halachic dilemma. Are you permitted to wear a mask on Shabbos? Well, why do you want to wear a mask? What's the reason? So you go online or listen to the news, listen to the mayor or to the governor or the president or to their entire staff of experts in public health, and they're going to tell you there are three yesoides of wearing a mask. Three yesoides. It's the even more lumdis in a mask than brisk. In brisk, they're usually only tzvei dinim, two dinim. In a mask, there are three dinim in a mask. This is after you know the mitzias before you can pass in the halacha. Why are you wearing a mask? So the erste zach, the first reason why you wear a mask is because you should not get sick. You never know what you're breathing in. You never know. You can be walking down the street. There can be in the air some germs in the air. Who knows? Who knows? No one knows anything. Protect yourself from breathing in toxins. In that case, get a mask that's, you know, the N95 mask that is filtered. You know, who knows what's coming into your nostrils, into your mouth? Protect yourself. That's the first yesod. The second yesod is nothing doing. You're not going to get sick from breathing in. The reason why you wear a mask is you should not make someone else sick. If you sneeze, if you cough, you're going to release your germs on a surface, on an object, and someone will come along and touch that object. So the reason why you're wearing a mask, not because it's going to protect you from getting sick, it's to protect someone else. They should not get sick from you. You may not even realize. You may not even realize that you have symptoms, that you're positive. You're asymptomatic. And then there's the third yesod, why the public health officials tell us you should wear a mask. Protect yourself from yourself. You may not realize that on the tip of your finger are germs. And it is natural, it is common for a person to touch his mouth, his nose, and his eyes. So the reason why you wear a mask is not because you should not get sick from someone else. It's not because you should not make someone else sick. It's you should not make yourself sick. Protect yourself from yourself. Three yesodos. Number one, protect yourself. I don't want to breathe in your ear. Don't kill me. Number two, I shouldn't kill you. And number three, I shouldn't kill myself. I should cover my mouth and nose so that I should train myself not to touch my nose and my mouth, and hopefully by extension my eyes, and not bring the disease into my body. Okay, now that we know the purpose of a mask, you have to match that up against, does this fit into the category of clothing? Why do you wear clothing? I wear clothing primarily to protect myself. So this also is a means of protection. Do I wear clothing to protect other people should not see my nakedness? Yeah, that's also a svara. Okay, we're not going now into all the pratim. This is a very, very big sugya. The sugya is also very much rooted in the sugya of wearing eyeglasses on Shabbos, which is a very big sugya. We all take it for granted as a davar poshut ad me'od that you're allowed to wear on Shabbos eyeglasses. Who says? When eyeglasses first became popular, going back who knows how many years, there were many poskim that said you're not allowed to wear eyeglasses on Shabbos. Okay? They said it was forbidden to wear eyeglasses. Today, that opinion is not accepted. Okay? We don't see anyone being machmir not to wear eyeglasses on Shabbos. It's not accepted. But when the question was first presented, it was a novelty, and it wasn't so simple. And it had to be discussed. Well, what are the issues? Let's ask a more fundamental question. What about wearing clothing? What is the function of clothing? Then let's see how that relates to eyeglasses. Now we have the same exact issue. What is the purpose of wearing a mask? What exactly is going on over here? Just because you attach it to your body, that means that it's not called, it's automatically permitted? Is that sufficient? Attaching something to your body, is that really enough to permit wearing? Someone told me one of the poskim said, I don't really understand this svar, that the fact that it's a law also has significance in the halacha. I'm not familiar with the sugya, but what's going to happen in a couple of weeks where it's no longer going to be a law and they're going to be elderly people, they're going to be anyway people that are going to be nervous and going to still want to wear a mask, even if it's not the law. Okay, these are all, we're not here learning the shir. This is a different sugya, but I just want to bring out this point for this pasuk. What does this pasuk say? This pasuk here says, "Ve'ohavta l'reyacha kamoicha." Ani Hashem. This pasuk presents exactly these three principles. You should love your friend just like you love yourself. And then it concludes, Ani Hashem. Why does the pasuk need to conclude Ani Hashem? What is the purpose of kamoicha? When the pasuk says v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha, it's telling you, Ani Hashem is telling you, wear a mask for all three reasons. Love your friend. Don't make him sick. Don't spread your germs. Kamoicha. Just like you don't want him to spread his germs. Just like you wear the mask on your face in order that you should not get sick from his germs. When you wear that mask, Kavkavana, it's not for me, it's for him. Komoicha, he should not get sick from my germs. And then the pasuk says, Ani Hashem. What is your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam? You also have a duty to yourself, to your own personal neshama, to be strong and healthy, because you are a chelik of Hashem. Ani Hashem. What is man? A man is a spark of his creator. Every neshama is a nitzitz. You're here to fulfill a mission. You have to be healthy. Don't forget about me. Ani Hashem. Protect yourself from yourself, because you have a personal duty as a Jew in connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill your role of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we say Ani Hashem, it's almost personal. Because what is personal about yourself, your religion, your relationship with your Creator, where you come from? V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha ani Hashem. If it was a Hasidish Rebbe, I would tell you it's a gematria of wear a mask for all three reasons. Because in this pasuk, it brings out what it means to live in a society with other people. When you live in a society with other people, you have to protect yourself. That's a requirement of the world. You have to watch out. And ein ani li mi li. People will step all over you. You have to protect yourself. But you also have to protect other people. You have a duty. And even when it's not nogeya, even when there is, it's not relative, it's not important, the issues are not there of other people or protecting yourself from society. You have a personal mission to protect yourself from yourself, because you are here as a representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't ever forget, even when it's not going to be a matter of kamoicha, related to your friend, or whether it's going to be l'rayacha, related to kamoicha, it's just going to be between you and Hashem. Well, guess what? That also matters. Ani Hashem, I sent you down here. You have to be true to me. You have a mission. It's all one and the same. Okay, let's go on to another short idea. Okay, in this week's parasha, we learn about another important matter regarding a Beis HaKnesses. It's interesting that in this week's parasha, when this talk, okay, somewhere down the line, no one knows when, in Kedoshim it says, Eshab soisai tishmoiru, guard my Shabbosos, umikdoshi tiro. I demand of you to revere my mikdash ani Hashem. Amazing, huh? Pasuk tells us the mikdash is not a playground. It's not a sandbox. The Mikdash is the real deal. When you come into the Beis HaMikdash, U'mikdashi tirohu, it demands respect. It demands that you behave in a certain way to recognize that this is the makam of the Hashuas HaShchina. And by extension, every Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, is a Mikdash Me'at, which by extension demands there be a degree of Yirah in a Beis HaMikdash. We once spent a lot of time last year learning the laws of a Mechitza in a Beis HaKnesses. A Beis HaKnesses, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he learns that the requirement that a Beis HaKnesses have a Mechitza to separate between men and women is a mitzvah de'oraisa, is a biblical commandment rooted in the words U'mikdashi tirou. A mikdash or mikdash ma'at is a place that demands yira, and one of the expressions of yira is separation between men and women. And a makom that's designated for prayer must have a machitza. Rav Moshe Feinstein is more machon than the Satmar Rav. The Satmar Rav doesn't agree with Rav. Satmar Rav holds only midrabanan. He holds that this is not a makar. Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that a machitza is a deoraisa, and the Satmar Rav holds it's a derabanan. It's shocking, right? You would think that the Satmar Rav holds that if you don't have a curtain going all the way up to the ceiling, it's not kosher. Rav Moshe says that b'di'evet, 18 inches is sufficient. You can see the women across the aisle, across. 18 inches is almost nothing. But in halacha, that's called a mechitza. And mikdashi tirahu is a d'oraisa. The Satmar Rav learns that's not called yira. It's just a matter of separation of men and women, and that demands that there be a complete separation where you can't see. So it's interesting there. Satmar Rav practically demands more, but Rav Moshe in halacha, in the world of halacha, is much stricter. That was what we learned. We spent time on this last year. But we have this principle of mikdashi tirahu. But what's very interesting is that the hakdama to mikdashi tirahu are the words eshap soisai tishmeru, guard my shabbosis. Why in this pasuk are shabbosis juxtaposed to the mikdash? My Indian shmita etzel har Sinai. Why are these two juxtaposed? So Rashi does say. Okay, Rashi over here says the reason why the two are juxtaposed es shab sosai tishmaru u'mikdashi tiro is to teach you that you're not allowed to be mechallel Shabbos in order to build the Beis HaMikdash. Just because we are permitted to be mechallel Shabbos to offer sacrifices on Shabbos, one would easily make the jump. If Hashem allows us to slaughter animals and burn them on the Mizbeach, which is a clear violation of Hilchos Shabbos, so certainly we should be permitted to hire a construction crew and build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. What's the difference? What's the difference in offering sacrifices and building the Beis HaMikdash? Along comes this pasuk, juxtaposes the two to teach us, although it may be true I allowed you to bring sacrifices, but the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash, I demand eshab soisai tishmeru, I demand that it be guarded. You're not allowed to be mechallel Shabbos to build the Beis HaMikdash. This is the pshat. I want to suggest a drush. Push it. Nothing very heavy. Most of us, most of the world, the zaman, the time of the week when we come in contact with the mikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, and by extension the mikdash me'at is on Shabbos. Even the big shuls, you know, even though we daven in shul every single week, but we have a special Shabbos shul where we go on Shabbos. And even if we go and daven in the same shul, there are many of the big shuls, they daven in the main sanctuary on Shabbos, whereas the entire week they daven in the basement or they daven in the little rooms on the side. Only on Shabbos do they open up the main sanctuary and turn on the air conditioners and so on and so forth. Shabbos is the zman when Shabbos is what triggers the need to remember, oh, yes, mikdash shai tira, because during the week, we're not really in the mikdash. During the week, we're out in the business world. Shabbos is the time when we focus on the mikdash. Okay, fine. Now, I want to connect this to another very interesting pasuk. In the beginning of the parasha, it says, Ish imoy v'aviv tirohu, v'es shapsoisai tishmoiru. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Look at that. The pasuk there begins with a mitzvah. I demand that every man fear his mother and his father. And don't forget, observe Shabbos. Observe Shabbos. Why is Shabbos juxtaposed to the mitzvah of fearing one's parents? So Rashi there says exactly the same thing. One may be misled to believe, since the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim is so important, if one's parents demand that the child be mechalel Shabbos in their honor because they have a need, you should listen to the parents because of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, the mitzvah of yirah of the parents. Hashem says, not so fast. Don't go that far. Your parents are also obligated to observe my Shabbos. So they're not better. They're not better. They don't be better than your parents. Honor your parents. Revere your parents. But don't be mechalel Shabbos in honor of your parents. And that's the pshat. What's the drush? What would be the drush? The drush would be, I think, very similar to what we said before, is that when does a man have more of an opportunity to honor his parents? On Shabbos. During the weekday, people are busy, 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 busy. You have good excuses. Busy, running around, making money. You're running the world. Everyone is running the world. Every single person is solving all of the world's problems. And as a byproduct, he's making all the problems as well. But on Shabbos, all the problems are solved. So on Shabbos, it's a zman when you have the ability to focus on Shabbos. What I want to suggest here is that the fact that the pasuk here ends with Eshab Soisai Tishmoiru by Kibud Av V'Aim, and Shabbos begins as Mikdoshai Tirohu, these two pesukim are linked. They're linked. Ish imoy the aviv tirohu, the eshab soisai tishmoiru, umikdoshi tirohu. Being that Shabbos is really in the center of these two psukim, by yira of parents, the pasuk ends with Shabbos, and by mikdoshi tirohu, it begins with Shabbos. So Shabbos is the bridge between Ish, imoy, the aviv tirau, the es mikdoshi tirau. So now the question is, what in the world does a mother and a father have to do with fearing the Beis HaMikdash? When you come into the Beis HaMikdash, you come into the Mikdash Ma'at, what I'm saying to you is, you're not just fearing Hashem. When you walk into the Mikdash, the Beis HaKnesses, you're fearing your parents. There's an element of Ish Imo V'Aviv Tirahu. And the truth is, it's very simple. Because we are a nation that preserves Mesorah. We preserve the legacy of our ancestors. How? Where? Show me how. What, at home you have certain minhagim? The place where a person expresses his true yira for his mother and father is in the Beis HaKnesses. Ish imo v'aviv tirohu v'es mikdoshai tirohu. The place where you prove, we don't even realize this, but if we only lived at home and we did not devote ourselves to a community, to a Beis HaKnesses, our parents the legacy of our parents would dissolve very, very quickly. It would dissolve. If everyone lived, everyone did their own little thing, it would come a point in time, you know what, my parents did it like this, I'm going to do it like this. Enough. If everyone lived in their own Dalit Amos, that's what would happen. The koyach of a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash, we don't even realize, is what keeps us in check. By coming to the Beis HaKnesses, coming to together in the Makom HaMikdash, is where we recognize, my father did it like this, that's what we're going to do. We're going to preserve the legacy in the shul and through the community, through the achdus that is established in a central mikdash of where we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is what truly allows us to revere, to preserve the Yiras HaRoimimus of our ancestors. And this now is very significant for us. Because now, you know, now we're not in shul, we're yechidim, we're all dispersed. And we ask ourselves, like, where are we holding a life? Where do we stand relative to our heritage, to our parents, our grandparents? Many people are thinking to themselves, if my parents were alive, what would they say? What would their reaction be to this event? Holocaust survivor, people who went to the Holocaust, people who lived before the Holocaust. And many of us get a feeling like we're now at a dead end. We know it's not true. We know it's, you know, eventually it's going to come to an end. But while we are stuck in quarantine, many people have expressed the frustration of being alone, everything that I've transmitted down all the generations, it's over. It stopped. I'm lost. It's like, this is where the train stopped. This is the last stop in the train. We've come to an appreciation that only through coming together in the central location of the Mikdash is where we have the ability to express ourselves and transmit the legacy of the Aviv and the Imai. When you're stuck at home, you get the sense, yeah, my father, my grandfather, and here is where it stops. There's no going forward. There is definitely a connection, and that connection is definitely appreciated here in this parasha where we have the combination of Ish, Imai, the Aviv, Tirahu, the Eshab Soisai Tishmoiru, and then we pick up later on, Eshab Soisai Tishmoiru, O Mikdashi Tirahu. These two psukim, which the center, the common denominator, is the bridge, to be able to bring out the Aviv and the Imai. We desperately need the Mikdashi Tirahu. We need the Mikdashi Tirahu. And also what's also interesting is how does a person have the ability to have fear in the Beis HaMikdash? Well, in nature, a person has a fear of his parents. That's a reality. A person naturally has a natural sense of Yiras HaRoimimus for his parents. The Torah is giving us a technique. Take the Yiras HaRoimimus, Ish, Imo, the Aviv Tirahu, which is natural and is easy. It's natural. The person doesn't have fear for his parents because he chose not to have. He went out of his way not to have fear for his parents. But naturally, he would have awe and reverence for his parents. The Torah is giving you a technique. Take that and bring it via Mikdashi Tirahu. There's a channel. Shabbos. Shabbos is the Zman when we all come together in the Mikdash Ma'at. Take that natural fear of your parents and use it as a way to channel that fear to the Ribbono Shel Olam who rests his divine presence in the Mikdash Ma'at, in the Batei Kinosios. That we all be zoiche, that very, very soon we should be physically reunited in a new state of Kedusha. We should merit to see very soon Kedoshim. We should merit to see Daber El Kol Kehal Adas Yisrael. Physically reunited together with the lesson of Kedoshim Tihiyu. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Have a safe Shabbos. Stay safe, healthy, and secure. May we all be zeichet to Yeshua's and Nechama's for us and for Gans Klal Yisrael. Take care.
Amen.
Shabbos.
How you doing, Ryan?
How you doing, Mark?